By the way, I've been here many times over the years, and this place always looks nice. So apparently you folks get busy. We always try to capture a little bit of that and take it back to Northern Virginia, how you all participate. I hope you never lose that. And that's to see everybody participating in God's house ought to look nice and ought to be clean, and you folks do a wonderful job. And we just appreciate what we've been able to see over the years here at Shining Light Baptist Church. And by the way, I hope you thank the Lord, because over the years, God has really blessed, I believe, almost every year. Your faith promise has gone up over the years, and you've been faithful keeping missionaries on the field, and that's what it's all about. And we certainly thank the Lord, and I hope you are ready to participate this year. Does everyone have a faith promise commitment card here or a grace-giving card? You're going to need this today. You don't necessarily have to feel it. I hope you've been praying about it. We always call the Sunday, the final night. We always start on Wednesday, end up on Sunday. We call that Grand Finale Sunday. That's the grand finale, because I believe that missions is spiritual business, and Sunday determines whether anybody got spiritual during the rest of the week, all right? Because giving to missions above your tithes and offerings and all of that really takes the hand of God working and be able to work that out. So I hope you're ready to give and you'll participate, and you'll go the extra mile this time to be able to do as much as you can to get the gospel out on this grand finale Sunday here at Shining Light. Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 11. Proverbs chapter number 11 for our Sunday school lesson. Brother Dawson, I need to be finished at what time? 10:30, okay. All right, 10:30, I will assure you by my watch, I will be right stopped exactly 10:30, maybe 10:29 and 30 seconds, okay? All right, Proverbs chapter number 11, and I want you to look at verse number 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Our Father, we thank you for this Sunday. We thank you for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, these faithful people that have been here, taken off from work, many who have worked and come straight from work to be able to be here for this very important week that we call the Missions Conference. And we certainly pray that you have stirred hearts in a very special way, that every person here will certainly allow God to be able to speak to their hearts of what they must do with their own life personally, and then with the substance that you've given them to manage for you. And I pray that the God of heaven will be pleased with every decision that is made today. They have a goal and a need to be able to meet, to keep the missionaries on the field that they're supporting now, and then to be able to take on three other ones. I pray you'll help them to go even far beyond that, that you might work in a way that when it's all said and done, we will know that that is something God has done in spite of circumstances, and we thank you for it. Now bless our Sunday school hour here, bless the children, the nursery, all that takes place. We ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived, gives us here what I call a practical precept that I want to draw some points from today and talk about this missions Sunday. And when we talk a little bit about money, he gives a kind of a story, an illustration of two farmers. One farmer took the seed that he had, even though circumstances were kind of tough, and he says he scattered it or he sowed it and he had more. Another farmer looked at the circumstances that he was facing in life and say, maybe this is not a good time to plant. I need to hold on to what I have. And he held on and he ended up in poverty. And when you look at that, it's really a kind of an attitude that God's people ought to have when it comes to the resources of God. Now, I'm a firm believer that I am a steward, and a steward is a manager. I don't own anything. I manage what I have for God. God is the owner. When he purchased me off the slave market of sin, when I was on my way to hell, then I became his servant. So he gives me time, talent, and treasure, and I want to be a steward. I want to be a manager of that which belongs to him. So therefore, the way I look at it, and I believe it's a biblical principle, is that all that we have belong to Almighty God, and we're managing it for him. And therefore, he should determine how we do that. So when it comes to our money, and when I talk a little bit about money here this morning, as the farmer who had some seed would sow it and have more, and the one who had some seed would keep it, ended up in poverty, the same way we look at when it comes to giving. One person gives of what he has and always seem to have more, while another person holds on to what he has and he ends up in poverty. And that's the kind of the principle he's talking about. And what he's giving us here to understand that we become richer by being more generous, not by being more stingy. All right, the work of God is the most important work that we're involved in, and the resources God would give to me, I'm to use it in the work of God. And he talks about that. He goes on in this Proverbs and says in verse number 25 is what I really want to look at here this morning. He makes the statement here. He says, "The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself." Now, liberal is not always a good term. All right, and we have to be careful. Personally, I don't know where you are, but I would imagine many of you will agree with most of what I'm going to say. I think there's some things in life that, as a Christian, I ought not to be liberal about. I'm not liberal in my philosophy. All right? As a matter of fact, I'm not liberal in my politics. Well, at least one person agrees with me. Hang on, it'll get a little tougher. I'm not liberal in standards. I believe the Christian people ought to look different than the world. I think we ought to be conservative in how we look because we are setting an example. I'm not liberal in music. I think Christian music ought to be different than worldly music. A few of you agree with that. So there are a number of things in life that we ought not to be liberal about. Now, for someone who's pastored for 34 years, I understand. We fight a lot of times in church trying to keep people from being liberal in their philosophy, liberal in their politics, liberal in their standards, liberal in their music, and on and on and on. You're trying to get people, why don't we understand we belong to Almighty God, and let's try to be conservative about some things because I believe the Bible is conservative in these issues. And we spend a lot of time fighting, trying to get people not to be liberal in these areas. Well, the Bible says there's one thing that Christian people can be liberal about and ought to be liberal about, and that's in your giving. The liberal soul. The word liberal here refers to a soul of blessing. In other words, God wants me to be a soul of blessing. As God has blessed me, then I am to be a blessing to someone else. And this is what Solomon is talking about here, learning to be a liberal soul. Now, having been here for so many years, and I don't know if you have more people here this time than you had last time. I can't remember exactly, but I know that I see some faces that are not here, and then I see some other faces that are here that were not here last time. But the most important thing is whoever is here, we have a goal to be able to reach for the glory of God. We understand that the mission of the church is missions, and Shining Light has a responsibility. And by the way, we are seeking to be able to do something by adding missionaries. That's what every church ought to be seeking to do every single year. The more missionaries we have on the field, the more we can accomplish what God has given the church the responsibility to accomplish. That is to evangelize not just Tucson, Arizona, but the world. All right, so in order to do that, I believe that we're going to need some liberal souls this year. All right, so we're going to talk a little bit about being a liberal soul, being liberal in my giving, being a soul of blessing. I'm going, and I would to God that we would have some people in good old-fashioned Bible-believing churches who've been saved by the grace of God would put forth as much effort to be liberal in my giving as I do to be liberal in my standards, or liberal in my politics, or liberal in my music. I mean, you got people to leave church because the music is too conservative. We got people to leave the church. I had a man leave our church one time about politics. I've had somebody, I mean, been there a number of years, and you have people to leave your church about standards. I can't tell you how many people get angry because you want them to look godly, and they leave. Why don't we have some people that just downright say, I'm going to be a liberal soul when it comes to what God's given me in my time, talent, and treasure to help reach the world. I think that's a good principle and something we ought to strive to do. So we ought to be liberal souls in our giving. And by the way, it's a dangerous thing to withhold that which belongs to God. What I manage belongs to God. I am accountable. God wants to be able to depend upon me, and God wants me to make what I have available that he can use. And by the way, he is the one that gives grace. He is the one that gives power. He's the one that brings about conviction. All of that is him. And by the way, all of us have been around long enough to see that God sometimes gets a hold of people whose circumstances will not be the best of circumstances, but because God gets a hold of the heart, that person stretches out and accomplishes that which you can't see humanly possible. I've seen a lot of that in my Christian life. So I want to be a liberal soul. Now, three things that I want you to think about when we talk about being a liberal soul. And these are the characteristics, these are the qualities from this passage of a liberal soul, one who is a soul of blessing, one who is a giving soul. There's nothing more important than giving of my time, talent, and treasure to get the gospel around the world. We've been preaching about that, teaching about that. What is a liberal soul? A liberal soul, first of all, according to verse number 24, it says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. If I'm going to be a liberal soul, the first quality you ought to see in me is that I'm going to be generous in my giving. All right, a liberal soul, a soul of blessing, the kind that Solomon is talking about, is one that is generous in his giving. The Bible says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. That means that when it comes to my resources, when it comes to what I have, if I'm going to be a liberal soul, if I'm going to be generous, I'm going to take what I have, I'm going to invest it in the work of God, I'm going to involve it in the work of God, I'm going to increase in what I've done previously. By the way, you cannot serve the God that we know for any length of time without experiencing more of his blessings. And the longer I serve him, the more he blesses me. And as he blesses me, then I want to be a blessing to somebody else. That's what a liberal soul does. He involves what he has, invests what he has. And by the way, I know people, we've been in the building programs and bond programs and all kinds of programs over the years. I know Christians around this country will tell you that one of the greatest things they've ever done in their life is when they took their resources. I know people who took their life savings and invested in the work that we were doing by faith as a loan to help a child care center being built that one day would make money to help reach the world. And they say the greatest thing that I've ever done was to trust and invest my money into the work of God, and the dividends I received, I cannot tell you how great it's been. And by the way, God blesses those who get involved in that which he is involved in. And so I need to understand, if I'm going to be a liberal soul, first of all, I'm going to be a generous giver. Now, let me remind you of something you know. If I'm going to be generous in my giving, then I need to learn to be a church giver. All right? I'm a firm believer that if you're going to get the blessings from giving, you better give it to the right place. All right, you better stay away from the television ministry and the radio ministry and all of these other programs. A lot of these things are good. I mean, I give from time to time to the March of Dimes, but I'm not going to tithe for the March of Dimes. And by the way, I think about some of these organizations. I was telling my wife, once you start giving to one, it's amazing how much literature they can buy. I get the March of Dimes send me literature all the time, and they even send a dime. They tape a dime. I don't know if you all ever get that, the dime. I said if they save some of that literature, they were sending me all the time, and I give annually to the March of Dimes and do that, and the Cancer Society and some of those other things. But when I pay my tithes and give my offerings and my missions giving, it's going to the local church. I'm going to be a church giver. I'm going to be generous in giving to the local church. And by the way, I'm not giving to the preacher. I'm giving to the church that Jesus died for. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. And I need to understand, I need to be a church giver. Also, if I'm going to be generous in my giving, I'm going to be a church giver, but I'm going to be a consistent giver. Proverbs 3:9-10 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. A liberal soul or a soul of blessing is one who has learned proper giving. Now, I've pastored a long time, and people amazingly don't know what proper giving is. I mean, God has a system in which I give. Proper giving is threefold. And I want you to listen to me. When I give, and of course, here's the way before I left to come to Tucson, Arizona, last Tuesday night, I filled out my tithe and offering envelope, and I gave it to my son-in-laws, and I looked sternly at him, who is a police officer. He works on the SWAT team in Prince George's County, so he's I looked at him square in the eye and said, don't you forget to put my tithes and offerings.
That's good. Amen.
And I want them in there Sunday morning. See, if I don't put them in there the Wednesday night, I rob God a few days, and I'm not comfortable doing that. I want it on the first day of the week in the storehouse where God has set aside as the place that I'm to give. So I do that. I never travel without leaving my tithes and offerings back at my local church. And my wife has this thing that she does all the time. She never allows an offering plate to pass her any place without putting an offering in. She does. I do it most times, and I haven't gotten as spiritual as she is yet. But she gets changed. She goes and gets the money and pay. She said, I'm going here because she knows I'm going to be in this service this many times. There's going to be this many offerings. And every time she puts an offering in there. But our tithes and offerings for our local church are left back in Northern Virginia, and my son-in-law put them in the offering plate since they're 2 hours ahead of us this morning because I'm a church giver. I want to be generous, but I want to put it in the right place. And if you want to, I tell people that I counsel all the time, God will make it in his church whether you give or not. But you can't make it without that. And that's the thing you need to understand. Not about you. You can't make it. You can't make it. Because there will come a time in your life when you need to get on your knees and do something that the bank won't do for you, and the loan company won't do for you, and the job won't do for you, and you have to ask God to do. And if you've been robbing him, it ain't going past the ceiling. Because you have regard and iniquity in your heart, and you can't be asking. How can you ask? How can a robber who's robbing God ask God to bless them? It doesn't work that way. Right, so you need to understand that. The church is important. Now, here's what proper giving and biblical giving always starts with paying, okay? Before I can ever give God anything, I must first pay God what is his. The tithe is the Lord. Now, when we take our faith promise commitment cards, which you're going to do today, we're not talking about tithing. But if you're going to give properly and be a liberal soul, you can't be liberal in giving to something where you haven't first paid. I mean, when you get these mortgage statements, they have a place on there with your monthly payment, and then it says extra principal. Can you imagine putting something on the extra principal without putting something in the first and the mortgage is due? If your mortgage is $1,500 and you're going to put an extra $200 on principal, but you skip the $1,500, it doesn't work that way. You will be put out. They'll foreclose on you. It doesn't work that way. So all of a sudden, God's not impressed with tipping. He's not impressed with that. He impressed with pay me before you try to give something to me. All right, so giving always starts with paying the tithe. Now, tithing is an act of obedience. Get a hold of it. You don't even have to be spiritual to tithe. You don't. The tithe is the Lord. He's going to get it one way or the other. You either bring it in the storehouse where it's supposed to be, or take it to the garage, take it to the doctor, take it to the dentist, take it someplace, but you're not going to spend God's tithe. And the earlier you learn that in your Christian life, the better off you're going to be. Don't be a robber. So pay. Giving starts with paying. And then the second part of giving is I start paying what I owe. Then giving is followed by proving something. When I give an offering, whether it's to a building program or even an offering in the sense of faith promise is an offering, it's just used differently, and we'll get to that in a few moments. When I give something above my tithe, I'm saying, God, I'm paying this because I'm obeying. But I love you enough, and I love the cause enough, and I'm grown enough spiritually where I want to prove something to you by sacrificing. When you give it an offering, you are actually sacrificing. You're giving up something to give for a cause. So you give an offering. An offering comes in all kinds of forms. In our church, our envelope says tithes and offerings, and then there's building fund. Our church is one of those churches that give to a lot of things. We give tithes and offerings, missions, building fund, Sunday school offering, CDC offerings. I mean, you have about five or six different things down there that you give to. And nobody's ever obligated to give to anything. Everybody is commanded to pay. You pay your tithes. Offerings is a choice. That's a choice. And that's based on how much you love God, how more spiritual you become, how you grow, what the need. All of that develops over a period of time. I made it a point as a young Christian way back when I got saved and learned a little bit about the Bible. Every single year, I want to be able to prove to God more that I love him. I want to get to the point where I'm willing to sacrifice some of the things in life to prove to God that I love him. So proper giving starts with paying, and it continues with proving to God that I love by willing to sacrifice and give for the cause. And then the third thing to make giving proper is giving ought to be pleasing. It ought to be pleasing. You know, God is not happy with grumpy givers. And in that 2 Corinthians chapters 8, 9, and 10, where we look at the giving to missions, that you get into that point where he talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he said, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So when it comes to paying, and by the way, you can be grumpy and tithe and you're okay. All right, so you don't even have to be faithful to church, tithe, and don't be a robber, because robbers go to jail and they have all kinds of problems. All right, so you can be a grumpy tither, but when it comes to missions and faith promise, you can't be grumpy. He says, I want it to be purposed in your heart. God says, I want what I've done and to affect your heart. I want you to purpose in your heart. So when you give your faith promise commitment today, God says, I want it to be a heart matter. I don't want you to feel like you're forced to do this, all right? I want it to be pleasing. Because I'm looking, just like Jesus sat over and watched the widow Mike put that in there and he saw everything. It was her heart, her attitude. It wasn't the amount. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. I mean, he owns everything. So he says, I'm not impressed by your amount. I'm impressed by the attitude of your heart. I want you to give to be pleasing. Let it be a heart matter. And I want it to be cheerful, for God loveth a cheerful or hilarious giver. All right, so if I'm going to be a liberal soul, that means I'm going to be a soul of blessing. I want my giving to be a blessing. I want it to please God. All right, so I got to start by paying.
Yes, sir.
Then I give in a way that I'm proving to God that I love him and I love the cause and I love my church. And then I want to give in a way that's pleasing. I want God to look down upon that offering that I give for the cause of other people, and he'll see my eye has affected my heart, and I do love the world, and I do care about people, and I do care about souls, and I want to be generous to prove that, Lord, so that when that offering goes in the offering plate, I'm not giving it to please the preacher or the deacons or the counters. I'm giving in a way that pleases you, and you can see my heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. All right, so if I'm going to be a generous giver, a soul of blessing or liberal soul, I have to be generous in my giving. Now, let's go back to Proverbs chapter number 11 and look at the second thing it says about this liberal soul. He says in verse 24, there is that scattereth and yet increases, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. Then he says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. If you think about what he's saying, the farmer who sows seed, whatever comes up, he can partake of that. In other words, a farmer doesn't just plant. I grew up on a dairy farm, so I knew a little bit about walking out of my backyard, going out and plucking corn and boiling corn. Sometimes we boil corn when we had nothing else. We were surrounded by cornfields and watermelon patches. And, man, when you couldn't find no steak and no hot dogs, you walk out to the cornfield and pluck some corn and boil some corn, or walk out into the watermelon patch. You didn't even wait to get home to cut it with a knife. You plucked that thing open, popped it open there, and you had watermelon. And so, you know, when you grow up on a dairy farm, you partake of what's there. You know, everything's around you. I mean, we had all that the farm produced was available there. And what he's saying is that if you scatter the seed and it grows up, you're not just going to sell it and give it to everybody else, though that's a great thing to do, but you can partake of it yourself. So if I'm going to be a liberal soul, if I'm going to be a soul of blessing, if I'm going to be generous and involve, invest, increase my resources to help others, God says, I know what you are. I made you, and I know that you like things yourself. So he says, here's the principle. Giving hands are always receiving hands. If you give, you're going to get. And he says, Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You know, God did not have to bless us for giving. We ought to want to give to him just because of what he's given to us. I mean, salvation alone should be enough for us to give everything we have forever to God. I mean, how can you pay for escaping hell?
Amen.
How can you pay for what God? He bankrupt heaven for us.
Amen.
How can we withhold any material thing without giving back to him? But God is so wonderful, he's simply saying, a liberal soul is not only generous with his giving, but a liberal soul gains from his giving. You're not going to give something to God without God giving something back. And by the way, he doesn't always give it in monetary way, but he does in many cases. And he protects us. He does so many things for us. So God says, if you're involved in my program, if you learn to give generously, you're going to gain from your giving. I mean, the more you sow, that's generosity, the more you're going to reap. If you plant one grain of corn, don't expect a whole field to come up. And we don't understand that. We think, man, you know, we get very chinchy about that, and we don't understand. We have to sow bountifully, and if we do that, we're going to reap bountifully. And I think of the generosity of God. He gives us far more than we deserve. And many of us could stand here and talk about it. Anybody who's learned anything about giving. And by the way, giving is part of worship. You cannot worship God until you learn how to give. It's factored throughout the Bible. Throughout the Bible, it's God has tested us by how we learn to give. We need to understand that if I'm going to be a liberal soul, which is a soul of blessing, a giving soul, then giving hands or receiving hand, sowing bountifully, means I'm going to reap bountifully. So the more generous I am, and keep in mind, God has set the cause for which I'm giving toward. We're not talking about paying of my tithes. That I have no option about, and I don't have to be spiritual. I'm talking about giving beyond that to get the gospel around the world. God says, make it generous. Sow bountifully. I mean, give, and it will you'll get. Don't try to get and then give. Give and you'll get, and we gain. And then the third thing that I want you to see here about a liberal soul. A liberal soul is generous in his giving, gains from his giving. But then thirdly, a liberal soul is gracious in his giving. Now look at verse 26. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. But blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. The idea here, this is a picture of the corn grower who looks at the situation when things may be tough and he's thinking, I've got this seed that I want to sow, reap, and sell and benefit from it. But maybe the circumstances are not just right now. It's better for me to hold on to it until the situation is just right, and then if I sell it, I'm going to get more for it. That's a selfish attitude. And it says the person that thinks like that, the people will hate him. Now, what he's simply saying, when it comes to world evangelization, it comes to giving for the work of God, don't let your circumstances dictate how you're going to give. And that's what a lot of people, we look at our bank accounts, we look at our how much debt we have, how much credit we have, and all of that, and then we get ready to fill out our faith promise card, and we calculate. But that's in the Christian life, you start calculating, you got problems. I remember the first time I calculate tithing 3 weeks after I got saved. I put everything down on paper. I was running $500 in the hole. And then I thought about if I even tithe off the net, which is all I knew at that time, because I couldn't imagine anybody ever expecting you to tithe off the growth. After all, Uncle Sam gets his, and Social Security gets theirs. I hadn't heard that in the first 3 weeks I got. The next week I heard, you're not only supposed to tithe, you're supposed to tithe off your gross. So I'm running $500 in the hole off the net. Can you imagine what I'm going to do off the gross? But when I learned that, I started. And it's amazing when you start doing what God tells you to do. That which I couldn't calculate how to figure out, God turned it around. He turned that old business around that I had ulcers trying to get to go up. He turned it around and made it go up just like that, you know. All of a sudden, I had more money than I could ever figure out myself. And then I started learning, hey, this thing worked, you know. So let's start every year just to increase a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And guess he just bountifully gives back and gives back. So the idea when it comes to missions especially, you to give regardless of your circumstances and regardless of the consequences you think is going to cause you. So how can you do that? It's a spiritual. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and look at this great example. We mentioned this the other night, and I've taught it hundreds and hundreds of times at our church here over the years. He gives this example. And by the way, 2 Corinthians chapters 8, 9, and 10 all deals about giving beyond your tithes and offerings for the sole purpose of getting the gospel around the world. It's about other people. He gives this example of the churches of Macedonia. In verse 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." First of all, I want you to understand, when we talk about grace giving or faith promise giving, it's not based on circumstances. It's not based on the conditions you're facing in life. It's based on biblical principle. Faith promise or grace giving that we teach and preach all the time. First of all, it is scriptural. It's simple. It's systematic. And it's successful. It's proven to work. And here we find here in this passage what I call a biblical plan for financing missions. In verses 1 and 2, if we follow this as an example and look, the Holy Spirit put this passage in here to show churches today and all the time from the time it was written that none of us can come up with an excuse why we can't give to missions. Look at the participants here. He says, first of all, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God." Think about it. The grace of God. Verse 6 says, "Insomuch that we desire Titus that as he has begun to finish in you the same grace also." The grace he's talking about is the grace of giving. Chapter number 9, verse number 8, he says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you." Now stop for a moment, look at me. Let's say that every person in here, when it comes to filling out your faith promise card today, you take a moment and look at your circumstances and look at your condition and says, from a human perspective, I can't do this. You know what you need to do? Ask for some grace. Grace. What made these churches that were in great affliction, deep poverty, had every excuse in the world not to give to this offering for the sake of others? The Bible says the grace of God. And the Bible says God is able to bestow grace upon us. I really believe today that God can look down upon any person's situation who will have the faith and trust in him and asked him sincerely from their heart, "God, I want to give." And keep in mind, he's going to see the heart. "I want to give, but from a human perspective, I don't know how to do this, how I can figure that. Pour out your grace upon me." And I believe he'll give that. So everybody can participate, because none of us is worse off than the churches of Macedonia. So everybody can participate. We see in verse number 3, he talks about how they gave, the power of their ability to give. He says, "For to their power," the word power there is ability, "and I bear record, and yea, and beyond their power of ability, they were willing of themselves." Now here's what the Bible teaches in verse number 3. It's a waste of time to ask God to help you to give by faith if you're not willing to give sacrificially of what you already have. If I have a little bit and I'm not willing to sacrifice that little bit, it's a waste of time for me to ask God to give me more to give when I'm not willing to give of what I already have. And the churches of Macedonia gave to their ability. Whatever that was, they said, "This is all that we have. We're going to give that." But our hearts are burning so much, we want to do more. And they asked God to give them faith to do more than they had the ability to do. And God gave it to them. Now, I cannot honestly say, I've been given the faith promise almost 40 years of my life. I cannot honestly say today that I give by faith. But I can say, If you increase your giving twice a year long enough and your income doesn't go up, you'll learn to give sacrificially. I can honestly say that I've had to give up a few things over the years to be able to give twice a year increase, but I still don't give by faith because I still have a nice house and drive a nice car and I still have a little money in the bank. And to me, that's not faith. That's a willingness to sacrifice. All right, so you got to look at your situation and say, what am I willing to sacrifice before you can ever start saying, God, help me to give by faith. And I believe when a person sacrifices all that they have, God will give them the faith to go beyond that, and God will provide that. All right, and of course, verse number 5, it all boils down to this one thought. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. God's looking for the heart long before he's looking for the money. If he gets the heart, the power to give under these circumstances is that we first give ourselves to the Lord. Verses 6 and 7, he sent Titus down to Corinth to be able to speak to these people, insomuch that we desire Titus that as he begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. That's the grace of giving. Look at the therefore. When you see a therefore, see what it's there for. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. Church, he says, you've got a lot of gifts. You come behind in no gifts. You abound in all of these things. But what you really want to abound in is the grace of giving. Shining light, you got a nice facility, you got a lot of things going. He said, well, what you want to abound, you know, the greatest thing that ever happened to be a church is when somebody walk in and say, that's a mission-hearted church. Not a mission-minded church, but a mission-hearted church. Amen. They understand that the reason we have a building is to try to reach the world. The reason we want a bigger congregation is to reach the world. And then he said in verse number 8 is where we're going to finish. I got about 4 minutes. He says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. If you decide today that you are not going to fill out your faith promise card and you're not going to give a dime to missions, let me tell you something. You won't be sinning. Now, if you don't pay your tithes and give an offering of some kind, it doesn't say how much of an offering. If you give, you need to pay your tithes, because if you don't pay your tithes, you're a robber. All right? So you can't rob God. If you rob God, you're sinning. So you have to pay your tithes. But if you don't give faith promise, one dime to faith promise today, you are not sinning. He says, I speak not by commandment. Paul says, I can't command you to do this. But if you do it, you prove something. You prove the sincerity of your love. So here's what I want to leave you this thought. If you don't give to faith promise today, you're not sinning against God, but you're proving something. Yes, sir. You're proving you don't love God. You prove the sincerity of your love by your giving. And it's not enough to say, sing, oh, how I love Jesus. He has tested us all the way back from the Old Testament throughout the New Testament. When he built the tabernacle, he built the temple, he wanted people to give willingly. God didn't make a bunch of robots.
No, he did not.
He made some people that he saved by his grace. And he says, if I'm willing to die for the world and all kinds of people in the world, and if I prove my love by my giving, I want you to prove that you love me by your giving. I want you to love, be burdened, and have a passion for that which I have a passion for. And he says, the world needs what I've given you. And Paul says, I'm not going to command you to do it, Church of Corinth. But if you do it, you prove the sincerity of your love. The liberal soul is a generous giver who gains from his giving and is a gracious giver who, in spite of my circumstances or any consequences I'm facing in life, I love God enough and I love what God loves enough that I'm willing to sacrifice. Amen. and give that the gospel may go around the world. Our Father, we thank you so much for just the privilege we have to give. And I pray that you look down upon this group, that you're the only one who knows every heart, every situation, every circumstance. And I pray that you will touch some generous givers for missions this year. I pray there'll be some men and women and young people that'll go far beyond they've ever gone before, just because you touch their heart. And help us all to realize that we have a responsibility to being good stewards. And good stewards ought to be accountable. We ought to be dependable. And we ought to make our resources available that you may be able to reach a lost and dying world. Now you bless the remainder of this day and every commitment. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.